The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Niall Boylan is with me in studio, the Classic Hits broadcaster, candidate for the European election in the Dublin constituency for Independent Ireland. Niall, you're welcome to studio.
Thanks. It's unusual to be on this side of the desk.
Yeah, to be answering questions instead of asking them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do you want to be an MEP?
I've been 30 years on radio, and my show differs from yours in the sense that I take callers on the air. I also talk to politicians and everything else, and I've been doing that for many, many years. But it's mainly caller-based show. I worked it out, actually. I calculated it because at one stage I was doing two shows a day in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. And I worked it out that over the 30 years, I've probably taken 250,000 calls. And they range from people being happy to telling me something like a joyous event, to people being angry, to people being frustrated, or people being devastated because they can't afford the food on their table. And as much as I'm a good empathetic ear and I can listen to them, and at best, I can send a letter off to whatever department because they can't get an appointment, and they'll always give me the same answer that probably you get as well. Sorry, we can't comment on individual cases. I feel I'm not doing enough for them. So because I'm 30 years doing it, and people have been saying it to me, Niall, why don't you do something more? Why don't you run for election? So I was approached by Independent Ireland not so long ago. I initially turned it down. I kind of said, I don't know if I'm ready for this yet. And then I started thinking about it. I was talking to my wife, Karen, and I went, I'll just go for it. Feck it. I'll just go for it.
Is it daunting?
It is. It kind of feels like a bit of an uphill battle in some sense because I'm seeing a different side of the media. No disrespect. But I'm seeing a different side of the media. But that's okay. I expected that. But you know what was really overwhelming? The story was leaked. I was going to put it out the next day anyway, on Tuesday, which was yesterday. There was this kind of thing, a whole thing, that a gotcha moment that, you know, oh, he shouldn't be on the radio. I had no intentions of being on the radio. I knew the Commission of Ireland rules or the BAI rules in relation to that. And of course, it's up to every radio station to deal with that in whatever way they feel it necessary. But on Monday night, when the story went out, and I think Grip put it up, and the Sunday Business Post and a few others kind of had the basics of the story that I'd signed in the register, I was overwhelmed by the positivity. 95% of the comments were good, apart from one comment who said, "What, can I have your used posters to keep the crows out of my field?"
Why Europe?
Because I think in Europe you can get to the root of the problem. I mean, look, what happens is you get directives from Europe. And as we all know, 75% of our legislation is based on European directives. But it's usually 4 years later before anything happens over here. And then all of a sudden you've got TDs in the Dáil debating an issue that was signed over for by MEPs 4 years ago. And it's probably changed somewhat since then and will change in the future again. And before we know it, it's happened. And we don't feel we have time to debate it. I mean, we have our own legislation here, which we debate in the Dáil or the Oireachtas or with the House of the Oireachtas before we pass it through, you know, the first, second stage, third stage, whatever it is. But with EU legislation and directives, it's 4 years later it happens. We've forgotten that we signed it over. We've forgotten that we actually signed up for that. And I'll give you an example, the EU Migration Pact. We had MEPs in this country who disappear for 4.5 years. And I find it quite offensive to the voters. They disappear for 4.5 years. They turn up 4.5 years later, you know, to, you know, open a shop, put a, cut a ribbon or something like that, just to get your votes again. But while they're over there, they're like the best boys and girls in the class. And they put their hand up for everything. And then that's not what the European Common Market or was originally designed for. It was meant to be countries working together. Whereas now we're seeing this kind of almost like a dictatorship. And you're seeing all these European MEPs all just putting their hands up. But I think it's really going to change.
In what way is it a dictatorship?
Well, they feel... Look what we're sending over. They're all woke. I mean, you can disagree with that if you want.
But that's a different criticism than it's a dictatorship. No, I don't like who the Irish people have voted for as a different criticism than Europe's a dictatorship.
I feel that there's a huge amount of pressure on these MEPs to bring in laws. We saw what happened last week in Brussels, of course. And I'm not talking about the extreme and the right wing, but of course Nigel Farage and Viktor Orban wanted to have, you know, a talk in the convention. And every hotel they went to, it was closed down. So much so, the police were called to stop the event from happening. And this is what happens in the European Parliament as well. Debate, just like it is in the Dáil here, is shut down. For example, recently, Matty McGrath wanted to talk about immigration in Ireland. He wasn't allowed to have the debate. You're accused of being right-wing. You're accused of being racist.
Well, no, and sorry. And I'm not basing my whole campaign on immigration. Because people accuse him of being right-wing. He was not allowed at the time to do it the standing orders of the Dáil and how you get an item onto the agenda. I mean, they do discuss immigration.
But look at the time they've given to one of the most important pieces of legislation this country will ever see. We're handing away our sovereignty, our control over our own immigration laws, which are pretty good laws, by the way. They're pretty robust legislation. We're handing that over to the European Union. And it's allowed a half an hour. in the Oireachtas to question the Minister of Justice. Are the people really informed about it? We're being sold it as some sort of wonderful package that's going to make a difference. Everything that's in that, we can do ourselves. We don't need permission from Europe to put reception centres at Dublin Airport. Mm. We don't need permission from Europe to have a fast-track system to process people quicker. We don't need that. We should be doing that right now. We have a Minister for Justice who doesn't even know her own figures at the moment when questioned by Michael McNamara. She has no idea how many people are being even deported. They've lost control of the situation.
But the fact that there is free movement of people, though, within the European Union, is that an argument in favour of some version of the EU Migration Pact? Whether you disagree with aspects of it, that there's a common approach. Like, no. you talked about the purpose, the aim of the European Economic Community initially, and then the single market, and then the European Union as its descendant, is working together. Like, this is an example of working together.
But it's not.
You can't kind of say the point is working together, but actually I don't want to work together on this one.
When it comes to the free movement of people within Europe, we democratically voted for that in a referendum. Mind you, it took two referendums. We democratically voted for that.
Yeah.
We knew what we were getting into. And I don't think we have a problem with that. And I want to say from the outset,
did we not vote for this in Lisbon?
Well, we didn't really. We didn't vote for what we see at the moment, which is a free-for-all and people being treated inhumanely, stacked up in tents on Mount Street.
There were people who campaigned in the Lisbon referendum who said this is exactly what we were voting for.
At no point did we suggest that we were voting for open borders. And that's essentially what we have at the moment. Now, I want to say, at the outset,
Where do we have open borders at the moment?
And I want to be abundantly clear.
You just said we've got robust laws in this country.
I'm going to come back to that in a second. We have robust laws that are not being implemented. I'll come back to the open borders in a second. But in this country, and I want to make it abundantly clear, diversity is our key. It's our strength. You know, people mix the two arguments up together. I hear politicians do that. Oh, what about the hospitals? And, you know, what about all the hospitality industry? We need people. Of course we do. And they benefit our economy wonderfully and greatly. And I love diversity in Ireland. I think Ireland is such a wonderful country and Dublin is such a wonderful city. But we can't have a situation where it becomes a free-for-all. And it has become a free-for-all when we see today that out of 7,000 people, only something like, I don't know, 3 people were deported. Even though many, and these are people who were refused asylum. There has to be a safe country to send people back to. We have to have a policy. And we do have a policy, but for some reason our Minister for Justice doesn't believe she can implement these laws. And if the laws are not adequate, they're our laws. Mm. Let's change them. You know, the idea that you can change laws. During COVID, it was what we consider an emergency. I believe this is an emergency. Change the laws.
What you being in Europe is going to do what in relation to all of that?
Okay. Well, firstly, the EU Migration Pact will change over time. Of course, every year that's going to change. Our quota on the amount of people we bring in will have to change. Those laws will have to change. They will be adapted over time. I want to be there for that. And I may not be able to stop the EU Migration Pact, although I would say everybody should talk to the local TD about that. I won't be able to stop that. But I wouldn't have said yes to it in the first place, like all our MEPs did, apart from 2 MEPs who didn't, and they didn't for different reasons altogether, and one didn't turn up. So I wouldn't be one who would have voted for that. And there will be other pieces of legislation like that and other directives in the EU, and I want to be part of it.
But relating to what, because I was looking through the website at the different, and listen, immigration and the EU Migration Pact, absolutely, I mean, that is within the bailiwick of the European Parliament and governing
bodies.
We've
got the Habitat Directive as well, which is there at the moment.
Irish government funding for NGOs, that has nothing to do with MEPs. Building more modular housing, nothing to do with Europe.
Hiring more hardy and tougher
criminal sentences, nothing to do with Europe. Prioritising mental health and investing in step-down health.
It's like you're asking
people to elect you to the school board to fix the potholes.
I am part of a political party who stand for common sense and all these issues. And when you talk about, for example, housing, yes, there's a lot to do with the EU in relation to housing.
Some of these are specifically yours. Oh, no, some of them are the common to the party.
Because I want people to know who I am. Because if they think I'm tough on crime...
But when it comes to Europe, you're a single issue candidate.
No, absolutely. But do you think I don't make a difference? Because everybody makes a difference.
So sorry, when I go onto your website and it's got 4 issues there, it's got immigration, it's got NGOs, it's got housing.
Yes.
And it has law and order.
Absolutely.
You're accepting that 3 of those are irrelevant in this campaign. You just said you're a single issue candidate.
I just said it. I never said that.
I said, are you a single issue candidate?
Sorry, you said yes. Absolutely not. I care about a lot more. And I said to you 3 times in the last 15 minutes that immigration is not the only thing I want to talk about. There are so many other things
but
we need to talk about.
The things like, that you want to talk website,
but I just mentioned the Habitat Directive. I mean, that's something that affects us greatly in this country. We want to move on. We want to progress. Clontarf is in a really bad situation at the moment. But again, the Habitat Directive stops planning on many occasions because there's a rare spider living somewhere. So all of those things are handled at European level. That affects planning. That affects housing. The reason that I talk about those other things like climate, like housing, like whatever it happens to be is because I want people to know who I am and what I stand for.
But we don't have a housing crisis because of rare spiders.
I'm not suggesting we do have a housing crisis.
No, we have a housing crisis because we
do. But we do have planning problems because of rare spiders.
We have planning issues and the planning system is being overhauled. But again, I'm going to keep coming back to this. I mean, so many
agriculture issues. Agriculture is also a huge issue. I mean, look,
can you actually answer the questions I'm asking rather than the ones I haven't asked yet? Building more modular housing. Mm-hmm. What has that got to do with the European Union?
But all of us, what you're missing the point here is for somebody to vote for somebody to represent them on things that may come up over the next 4 or 5 years while I'm there, I want them to understand the type of person that I am. And there is legislation. As you know, most of our legislation comes from European directives anyway. And that could be in relation to planning. It could be in relation to how we handle crime. It could be in all of those things, education, everything else. So the reason I say those things on the website is for people to understand who I am.
Would you not be better off, though, running for the Dáil? There's going to be an election in the next 12 months. And far more of the issues that seem to excite you are issues that are debated and controlled here in Dublin rather than in Brussels.
You know what? The Dáil is a wonderful idea, too. But in saying that, I believe I could do a lot more in Europe because it frustrates me. And it frustrated me particularly 2 weeks ago, which was the main reasons I changed my mind and decided to run, was when I seen these MEPs we currently have walking in with their hands up before they even got in the door to sign over our sovereignty and to sign over protecting our borders. And one of those MEPs only recently said or suggested, even to suggest sovereignty was a good thing or protecting our borders is a good thing, was wrong. That these are negative connotations. That's crazy. Since when do you have an MEP in Europe suggesting protecting your own borders is negative?
Listen, lots of people getting in touch. I will say this for all the questioning. I think anybody who throws their hat in the ring is to be commended because
I've just given up a job, a career of 30 years.
You're on the Dáil as well.
I'm on the Dáil.
That's a brave man. Listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Niall Boylan, Classic Hits broadcaster, candidate for the European elections in the Dublin constituency for Independent Ireland.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.